Praise the Lord. I give God glory today that my daughter Lindsay, this is her first time back since she had major surgery. I'm going to tell you something. Going into this, Lindsay's had a few very difficult medical situations, like nearly dying about 4 years ago when she had her baby, and it was very serious. And so when I knew she was facing this other surgery, she had to have a fusion in her back. They had to decompress the rest of her spine and just a lot. And when I knew she was going to have this, I have to be honest, I just said, oh, Lord. Because every time it seems we've had just things that just don't happen, just complications. I want to tell you, this has been so uncomplicated that I'm just halfway aggravated at her, if you want to know the truth, because I'm having to sit on her. She's not supposed to be doing some of the stuff she's doing. And as her mother, I feel it is my responsibility to tell her every day. But God has just done, I'm telling you, a miracle. A miracle. And I'll take it. I'll take it. Man, when God gives you something great, take it. Those of you that were prayed for this morning, you know you have to receive the healing. You have to tell. You have to say, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. I take it. I want it. In the story of the prodigal, we're going to go back there today. Luke chapter 15. And I just want to read to you that passage and go a little further than before when Jay spoke. It said, and he said, Jesus continued. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. It says he was the younger son, but it says he divided to them. So I believe, if I understand this, and some theologians agree with me, that when the man divided his stuff, he just went ahead and divided it between the two sons, and he gave it to them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living or riotous living. I'll be honest, I didn't even know what prodigal meant. I thought I did. I thought prodigal meant like a runaway. It doesn't mean that at all. A prodigal has a dual meaning, and it is, first of all, a prodigal is a person that has a great abundance, but it is also means it that they spend it recklessly. Excessive, extravagant spending. They may have a lot. That's part of it. But they don't know how to spend it. And he was a reckless young man with the things that he had been given. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the power of your word, and thank you that as the word goes forth today, as I scatter the seed today of your word, that it is going to find fertile ground, and that, Lord, it is going to produce a harvest today, and that, Lord, that at the end of this matter, at the end of your word, Lord, there is going to be people that you're going to take this word and quicken them, make them alive to it, that, Lord, the word is going to change the course of their life. And Lord, we thank you now for it in Jesus' mighty name. Mighty name. This young man, and Jay didn't mention this specifically, but it's true. This young man was born into wealth. He was born into a wealthy household. He was born into a blessed place. Can everybody say that with me? A blessed place. This prodigal was born into a blessed place. A blessed place is a great place. Amen? The Bible says that people that are blessed, they just live on top of situations instead of situations on top of them. That's what it, that's one of the definitions of being a blessed person. One definition says happy, but it comes from that word. It's the root of it is hap, which means it's based on something that happens. But I know this to be true. You can be blessed even when nothing's happening. You can be blessed even when it's not. And so this young man had it all. He had fine clothes. He had a fine palatial house, I believe. There were servants in this house. He remembers the servants. And there were servants in this house. I think from the time he was a little boy, they dressed him, they fed him, they wiped his little mouth. He had never known what it was to not have somebody waiting on him hand and foot. He was blessed, blessed, blessed. He was loved by his father. There was love in this house. And yet in this, so I'm looking at this story and I'm thinking, what's not to like here? What is not to appreciate here? And yet that's exactly what happened. How can you be in such blessing? I'm telling you, if I was living in here, I got servants, I got all this stuff, I'm thinking I ain't going nowhere. And yet he wants to leave. What happened? What happened? And the Bible doesn't tell us specifically what happened, but I don't think this young man is different from anybody else. I don't think he's different from you and I. Sometimes when we are blessed, we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't recognize how blessed that we are. And sometimes we have to get away from that place even to see how blessed we truly were. But you know, it's not necessary. Some people say, well, you know, you can always expect when kids are teens, they're just going to sow their wild oats. That's the world's way of thinking. Your kid doesn't have to sow nothing bad or wicked or evil. Why? Just so we can scar them and hurt them? No, I believe that if we'll stay in that blessed place, that we can continue in the blessing. He had an opportunity to do that. So what happened? You know, I began to ponder what could have happened that it could have changed his mind or made him feel different. And I believe maybe they had people that had visited from far away and had come to the house and maybe told them about how things were in other places. Has anybody ever had that experience? Somebody comes back from their vacation to Tahiti and they're telling you about it and you're just salivating, just thinking about getting out there and being where they've been and seeing it and hearing it and feeling it and oh, no cares, you know, all that kind of stuff. Somebody planted a seed in this kid. I'm convinced of it. Or this young man. He wasn't a child. He was a young man. He was old enough to make a decision. I don't think it was about the money, because I don't think he even had any understanding of money. I think it was the part about having control of his own life. And we see that so many times. So what is that? You know, there is a scripture in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 23, that gives a very detailed story of what I think happened to him. There was a prophet by the name of Balaam, and Balaam was a prophet of God. And there was a king, a wicked king, who had a lot of sorcerers and things, and he hated Israel, and he was the enemy of Israel. He was an enemy of God's people. He hated the fact that they were so blessed. Has anybody ever hated you because you were so blessed or jealous of you? I believe that he hated him, and he tried to get his people, and they said, but we don't have any curses in our little book here that tells us how to curse these people. So he said, well, I'll get one of their prophets, and I'll bring him in here, and I'll pay him a large sum of money to curse Israel. And so Balaam comes, and he hears what this king wants, and he thinks it sounds pretty good. He's attracted to the money idea, but down deep inside of him, he goes before God and says, God, what can I say? And God says something that you and I need to understand. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. God says, you cannot curse what I have blessed. I'm looking at blessed people. I am looking at blessed people. And you need to not walk in any kind of fear that something is going to happen to you to take your blessing away. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No hex, no incantation, nobody stirring something up. No amount of those things. When you are blessed, you are blessed. Balaam tried. Balaam wanted to be able to do that. He wanted, but every time he tried three times to curse, and all that would come out of his mouth was blessing. And this king was so angry, he didn't know what to do. You see, because nothing, when you stay in the blessed place, when you stay in the Father's house, nothing can touch you. You know, that's what the devil said about Job. He said, you've got him surrounded. And we quoted that scripture this morning. I didn't know what scriptures Jay was going to quote, but he quoted the scripture. Oh, Lord, the one about the shield. What was it? Say it again. The shield, you're around us. Your favor, that's a blessing. You'll surround us with your favor like a shield. Say that with me. You will surround us with your favor like a shield. Do you know what a shield is? It's a covering. It's something that cannot be penetrated. And when we are in the Father's house and we are in that blessed place, and you know, I know what it is. I've been raised in this all my life, and I feel like the knowledge of Christ is the greatest blessing that's ever been given to me. I've walked in this blessed place, but it says that no weapon. So what happened, you know? What happened here? Balaam said something else to this king, though. He said, I can't curse them because they're under the shielded protection and favor of God. He said, but if we can convince them to come out from underneath that covering, to come out from underneath that blessing, he said, then we don't have to do anything. They'll curse themselves. And do you know that's what Israel did? Because if you read the very next chapter, it says the men of Israel began to look at the wives in the foreign wives, and God had forbidden them. He said, when you go into the promised land, do not marry the women that are, don't marry the Canaanite women. He said, because they worship idols and your heart will be drawn away. But that's exactly what Israel did. It wasn't, nobody could touch them as long as they stayed in the Father's house. Nobody could take the blessing from them. They were blessed and it was done. It was a done deal. Nobody could touch them. Nobody could curse them. But when you move out of the Father's house and you move out from underneath the blessing and you do it as a choice and you do it as a matter of decision, then you can curse yourself. And I don't know if anybody in the house has ever done that. I did. And it's a miserable way. That is what it is. So what was it that drew this man out? I think that it could have been, and again, I don't mean to speculate about the word of God, but judging by what he did, I think that there was a restless spirit that got a hold of him somehow. Maybe it was because of what other people said. What's a restless spirit? It's a spirit of discontent. It's antsy. It's nothing satisfies. Have you ever met anybody that was just restless all the time? I don't care how good it was. I don't care how great it is. They just, I don't know. You say, well, what's wrong? I don't know what's wrong with me. I just want to go somewhere. I just want to do something. I got to get out of here. You know, you kind of antsy. You're tired of being in the house, and so you get out. And then you get out of the house. I'm tired of being out here. I'm going home. Nothing satisfies. It is a terrible spirit, and I will tell you, it is a restless spirit. It is loose in the earth today. It is loose in the church. People get restless, and if everything is, I don't know if I like the way they do that. They've made some changes I'm not crazy about, or I wish they'd make more changes. I can't believe they're leaving it like this. And people that are married get restless. Don't look around right now. But it's the truth. People that you've got, I'm telling you, this restless spirit is not a small thing. I might be a little humorous with it, but there's nothing funny about it. Because when something restless gets on the inside of you, nothing satisfies. And that's what this young man demonstrated. He had it all. He should have been content. He should have been satisfied, but he wasn't. He was restless. He just had to get out there. He just had to go see something else. It was boring at home. Sometimes people that are married wish they were single. Restless spirit. People that are single wishing they were married. People that are fat wishing they were skinny. People that are skinny wishing they were fat. I hate you, by the way. No. People that are poor want to be rich. People that are rich wish that they could just feel something again. Just something real. Wishing somebody invite them over to the house with just beans and cornbread, you know? We're not satisfied because we have a restless spirit. And did you know the Apostle Paul, he warned Timothy. Let me read to you a very powerful passage of scripture. Write this down somewhere and read it over and over. You need to get this one down in your spirit. You need to understand that this is what God's remedy is for a restless spirit and a warning. He says, now godliness That means to be like God. That has a desire to be righteous. That's what it means to be godly. It means to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. I just wanted to clarify that. It says, if you have godliness with contentment is great gain. This is 1 Timothy 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these things, we shall be content. When's the last time you were just happy because you had food and clothes? But those who desire to be rich, listen to this. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Or that means danger. For the love of money is the root of all evil kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows. That's a powerful passage of scripture, and it speaks to our generation and it speaks to our day that God doesn't want us to be restless. He wants us to be content. He doesn't want it when your neighbor pulls up with that shiny boat that you're eat up with jealousy and you just got to have one. It's not when your girlfriend gets a new ring of bling on her finger and it's bigger than your diamond. And so now you got to go search and find you one that'll be just a little bit bigger than that. There's a restlessness in the earth, folks. And it's not a minor thing. It'll keep you frustrated and it will keep you away from the true riches. It'll keep you away from the love of God. It'll drown out the love of God. I've seen people that started off good and got money hungry and they left God somewhere behind. It is time to be satisfied. It is time to let God be your satisfaction. I got to move on here quickly, but before I do, I just got to say this. I have some great advice for young couples, especially young couples. Some of you just need to put some boundaries, and the Lord really told me to tell you this. Some of you need to put some boundaries on your electronic device time. You need to turn it off, and you need to look at your husband. And you need to look him right in the eyes and say, let's turn everything off. Let's be together. It's real old-fashioned. It really is. But it's really needed. I'm amazed sometimes at how many times you walk by a table full of 20-somethings or 30-somethings, and everybody's on their phone. Nobody's talking. Nobody. And I will tell you, everything you're reading is going to make you restless. It will. Because you just got to have a little more, a little more, a little more. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We've got to guard our hearts against it. I want to tell you, somebody asked me this week, what was my passion? And I'm going to get to that at the end of this sermon in just a minute. But I don't want to move too quickly because I want to tell you, we've been married. It'll be 36 years. Hold my hand. It'll be 36 years. 36 years in October. And I still feel great passion for this man. I love him. I'm satisfied. I'm content. And that's not because we have everything, every little gadget. That has nothing to do with it. We have plenty. And we have more than enough. The garage is full. The shed is full. And we have a storage. We have more than enough. When he says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But I want to tell you the secret, the key to staying married 36 years and still feeling content. Is that every now and then we just have to, I just walk by him sometimes and he does the same thing to me. And I say, have I told you how much I love you today, honey? No, you hadn't told me today. Not today, but. Today. Let me back it up. It's not quite 36 years. We'll see if we make this to October. I'm thinking about a mid-marriage prenup right now. Wouldn't be a prenup, would it? I'm talking about contentment, and I'm talking about something that got hold of this young man. And he thought that everything was greener outside of the blessed place, outside of the Father's house. I want to tell you, the blessing flows in the Father's house. It flows under that covering, and he adds no sorrow to it. You can enjoy the full blessing of the Lord. God wants you blessed in your marriage. He wants you blessed in your ministry. He wants you blessed in the mission he's given you. So what is that? The purpose of your life. He wants you blessed in those things. He left the home. The first thing that happened, and that's what I just described to you. Everything I just described to you is this. It was deception. He was deceived first. He was deceived into thinking that things would be better away from the Father, away from the everything he'd ever known. It'll be better out there. Nobody to tell me what to do. Nobody that's going to tell me what I can spend and what I can't spend. It's mine now, and I'll do with it what I want. Thank you. There won't be any some pastor checking up on me. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go some big mega something and sit down, and ain't nobody going to know when I'm there and when I'm not. Be careful. Don't leave the blessed place. There's a blessing here. There's a blessing in this house. Be careful. Be careful. Things are not always greener somewhere else. And that was something that he found out. He got out there. He wasted his substance with riotous, reckless living. But part of the way through, and you know, during that time, he partied all of his money and all of his substance away. It wasn't just the money, it was everything. He took everything with him. And he was foolish, and he had lots of friends, and we were having a great time, and for a while, it was okay. And that's the way the devil does. He lures you out and convinces you that it'll be okay on your own. It'll be okay to disregard the word of God and do it your way. That's what happened to Israel. They said, it doesn't matter. We'll marry who we want to. And when they did, they brought idolatry into their house. They brought worship of idols into their house. They had children born with idolatrous women. And what happens? There was no covenant with God. Guess what happened? The enemy came in and began to devour them. Their enemies would attack them and they had no defense. Why? Because they'd broken covenant. They got out of the blessed place and they got into the world. They got into a place away. And nobody had to curse them. They cursed themselves. And I want to say this to you today. I don't want anybody in this church to ever walk out of the blessed place. And the blessed place is not just a church. It's where God's called you to be. It's who God has called you to be. That's where you're most blessed, is being who you are in God. Not trying to be something or somebody else. And certainly not trying to pursue the almighty dollar. That will not bring you the joy you think it will. You'll still be blessed. You'll have plenty. God will provide. Amen. How many of you, when I said a while ago that your garage is full, your shed's full, and you're having to pay a little storage yourself? If we'd ever get all these kids to just move out and take their stuff, it'd help. No. By the way, Justin and Lauren will be home today. They're working in Dallas, in case anybody wants to know. I want to stay in the blessed place. He didn't. He got wild. He got reckless. And then a famine hit. When everything he had was gone, that means the friends were gone too. Listen, those kind of friends, they only hang around when you got something to give them. Then they're gone. Don't kid yourself. You think they like you? They don't like you. They like what you have. They don't like you. That's why you come to church. We all just got to love each other because God's commanded it. We got to love each other whether we got anything or not. Be careful in church. You don't love people. You think they've got something that they can give you. Love everybody. Love them the same. The Bible says don't invite the rich to your house. The Bible says invite the poor that cannot repay you. Invite them to your house. So he's busted. He's deceived. He's depressed. He has degraded himself. All of his integrity is gone. His dignity is gone. I'm telling you, when the devil takes you out of that blessed place, he'll not stop until you're in a hog's pen somewhere. He'll not stop until you're starved and depleted. Jay said last Sunday, he was depressed. He was degraded and he was starving or depleted, empty, had nothing, was willing to eat what he was feeding the hogs, and he couldn't even get his hands on that. Oh, and this is where the enemy loves to stand by with folded arms and said, mission accomplished. I'm telling you, the devil wants you out of the place that God has put you. He wants you out of that sweet marriage that he brought, and you stood before him and said, till death do us part. He blessed that union. Stay in the blessed place. If it's within your power, stay in the blessed place. I know it's not always. There's two people there, and I understand that. But as much as is within your power, trust God to keep you in that blessed place. Stay blessed. And God, you say, well, can God bless people that are divorced? Yes, he certainly can. He can. He loves and he takes care of women and children. And he'll take care of anybody that'll fall on his mercy. Amen. So he's got nothing. And the devil has got him right where he wants him. And the devil looks at him and he thinks, this is it. This is the whole thing. And you think that the devil will stop because you're miserable and you're crying and you're busted and you're broke and you're sick and you're hungry. You think he'll stop because you're in such bad shape. He will not. His goal is to kill you. The Bible says the threefold mission of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy. He will not stop until you are utterly destroyed. That was the plan for this young man. It was to use his own foolishness against him. It was to use his pride that he thought he knew more than the Father and to walk out of the house of blessing. And he comes to this place and he says, but something so incredible happens. Something so wonderful. It happened here in the beginning before is what I was telling you about. Something happens whenever God sees people and they're just in a miserable place, but he knows that they know what it is to be in a blessed place. God starts talking to them. God starts talking to them. See, early in the beginning of the service, God had such mercy and compassion on us. We acknowledge, we felt his wonderful tenderness and his love for us. And there's some of you here today, you're not totally out of the blessed place, but you got a whole foot in the world. You started off with just dipping your toe in it. And then first thing you know, you had your little foot in it. And the next thing you know, you will jump in. Don't say, not me. It won't get me entirely. It won't get me. You're foolish. It will. But in the midst of all of this, it says something so great. And so he's looking up and he begins to think about the blessed place. Look what he says. It says, and when he came to his senses, verse number 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, he began to think about the blessed place. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He remembered there was food in the father's house. I was never hungry when I was in that blessed place. I was surrounded by people that loved me in that blessed place. I didn't know how to appreciate that place. But it says, he said he came to himself. Have you ever come to yourself? Oh, it's kind of a great thing. It's a sad place. It's a hurting place. It's a country song hurting place. That kind of bad. You will feel like you cannot survive. You will feel so broken and beyond. You won't even know. But somehow, what happens, I'll tell you what happens. God's great love just blows over your soul. I believe that Father was praying. I believe he was praying, Son, come home. I love you. Come home. Come home. And he says, I remember my dad's house. He said, the servants in my dad's house had food and plenty. They never were in the place I'm in right now. And I'm closing with this morning. There's people here and you've tried it your way. And you may not want to admit that you're in the hog's pen and that you're busted and broke and hurting. And maybe your pride doesn't want to admit it yet, but you'll come to that place. I've prayed and said, Lord, if there's people in the house and they're in that place, Lord, let them hear you today. Let them hear the voice of this Father saying, come home. He's not against you. He has shed tears over you. That Father, I believe, wept and cried. There's some of you here this morning and you say, I didn't ever think I'd be this place in my life. I didn't think that I would get to like this. But I'm going to tell you, your life's not over. Change your mind. That's what he did. Came to his senses. He changed his mind. He changed his mind. And I believe that when you change your mind, you get to talking. I believe he just got up and he said, this ain't it. I'm not staying here. This is my last day feeding pigs. This is my last day wanting to eat the food I'm feeding them. I will get up and I will go to my father's house and I will throw myself on his mercy. And I will say, Father, have mercy on me. And I will be a servant to him. I won't spend another day here. And some of you, this is your day. This is a day you need to stand up and tell the devil, you have almost destroyed me, but I won't let you do it. This is the last day. The last day I'm going to live like this. Hallelujah. You won't destroy me. I'm not yours. I belong to my Father. I never was yours. I was stupid for a while. Oh, listen, the altars every Sunday fill up with stupid people. That are repentant stupid people. Do you understand? I meant that in a nice way. Everybody in this church don't say, well, you know what? Those other people, they're just going to look at me. No, they're not going to look at you. They're probably going to run down here and put their arms around you. You'll probably have to hold up a sign, leave me alone. Because you know why? Because they were down here repenting. They were down here. They know what it was to come out of the hog pen themselves. There ain't no super righteous, super religious people in this church. You kidding me? Look around. Some of us got the scars where the enemy almost wanted to kill us and destroy us. But we got great news for you. Come home. Come home. It's awesome. It's awesome to get back in that blessed place. And nobody can curse you. Don't curse yourself. Quit cursing yourself with decisions. I told you, and I believe it with all my heart, nobody, you're blessed of God. Nobody can curse you unless you get out. Then you can make decisions and bring a curse on yourself. And it's time for us to come home. And it's time for us to appreciate what God's given us. It's a time to say, I want to come home. I want to be in that blessed place. I never want to go again. Somebody asked me this week, what is your passion? And I told you I got a passion. I tried to tell you I had a passion for this man. And it's kind of rebuffed. You did okay, but that was real fair. We should have worked on that before church. Well, let me tell you something else I got a real passion about. And I had to think about this. When this person asked me, they said, what is your passion? And I started thinking, I got a passion about all kinds of stuff. But in ministry, I got this real deep passion about something. I cannot stand to see people in bondage. Oh, my Lord. It tears me up. When I see people come into church and I see the enemy has ravaged them, the enemy has bound them, the enemy has almost destroyed them, I can't stand it. And I got a passion to set people free in the name of Jesus. I cannot stand any level of bondage. I can't even stand it when people come into church and I see something different on their face than I saw the week before and they don't look happy anymore. I want to know. You say, well, isn't that kind of, aren't you kind of being invasive? Aren't you a little bit, stepping over your... I don't know. This is what I've been called to do. I've been called to get in your business because God's put a love in my heart. He didn't want me to get in your business so that I can point out your faults. That's not a gift, by the way. That's not a gift of the Spirit, is to be critical of people. He didn't give me any gift to see anything in people until he first gave me love. And he gave me love in my heart 10 years ago, a deep love. And he started working me 20 years ago with that brain thing. And then 10 years after that, he baptized me in a great love. And now I just look at people and my heart breaks because I can't stand to see them in bondage. I can't stand to see husbands and wives walk in here and I can tell they're fighting. You say, how do you know? I know. 31 years in ministry, you know. And it breaks our heart. I can't stand to see young girls that come in here and they've got the look of the world all over them. And it's not the way they're dressed. And it's not any of those things. There's a deadness in their eyes. There's a deadness in their soul. And I look at them and I know that God has called them to be something great. And they're out there in the world trying to find their identity. They're trying to act like a Kardashian or something. And it won't work that way. And I just feel, I feel the chains of Kardashian all over them. And I'm just saying, Lord, we got to set them free. I'm not kidding. I can't stand to see young women that give their bodies and they're not married. It breaks my heart because I know you're going to sow a seed you don't want to reap. You don't want that. And I know this. I know there's a God that can restore you. Because he says if any person is in Christ, listen to this. You that are damaged, you that have been hurt, you that have been wounded in the world, you that got out of the blessed place and you went out in the world and the devil has scarred you up. Listen to me. There is a hope in him. There is such a hope in God today because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says if anybody, any person is in Christ, he is a new, she is a new creature. It says old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And are you ready? This is the best part. All things become new. New mind. New outlook, new everything. Bow your heads with me this morning. I want to know who says this morning, today's my day. I want to get back in that blessed place. I've drifted. I've slipped. I am too much. I've got a foot out there somewhere, and I'm dabbling in things that are just going to destroy me. I want to know who in the house this morning, you'll admit it, and put your pride aside and say, I want to get back to that blessed, wonderful place where I feel God's spirit with me.